Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We've got to tackle systemic racism, this horrible shooting again. How many times do we have to see this in our country? I mean, this is just unbearable, and it needs to be intolerable. And so, you know, maybe I can, by speaking directly to white people, say,
we out here like the mother Taliban. We out here like the Taliban. They done gas us. They done gas us and everything. We out here like the Taliban. You don't know what time it is.
That's all. You don't know what time it is. So Grandma gave a speech at Black Lives Matter the other day saying she's got to talk to white people. And next we see Charlotte's on fire. Meanwhile, the man who started it all, the emigre, George Soros, the man who needs treatment not for baggy eyelids, but for a baggy soul. George Soros is nowhere to be found. The man who gave the Black Thugs Matter $70 million. $70 million. Now, I'm going to ask you a simple question, those of you who are, let us say, jaundiced in your thinking about me or about my positions. What happened last weekend in New York and in Minneapolis? Check your brain. Oh, you forgot already? The bomb that went off in New York from a Muslim thug? You forgot about Minneapolis where the Somali Muslims stabbed 8 people? You forgot all about it? Now, why did you forget all about it? Because the thugs of Charlotte are burning, looting, killing, setting people on fire, begging people for their lives, beating them up. Why are the thugs of Charlotte in the news and that not in the news? Why is Hillary's wandering eye not in the news? Why is Hillary's slip and fall not in the news? Answer, because they control the news. So they unleashed the thugs in the streets of Charlotte. Now, this is separate from the incident itself. I told you yesterday on this show that I think that that first incident was a disaster on the part of the white female cop who shot the guy. I'm on record with that. I'm not changing it. But that doesn't mean I justify these drug dealers and thugs who are being unleashed upon the streets of Charlotte. No way to do that. They're being funded by George Soros. Now, if you look into these riots and these muggings and the lootings by the thugs, you will find that they're being steamed up by white agitators who are flying in from out of state. And I want to remind you again on this show, this happened in the 1960s. I'm very familiar with how these things work. The white communist agitators are extremely well-funded, well-organized. They're an arm of the Democrat National Committee, in my opinion. They're an arm of the White House, in my opinion. And they were sent out to wipe the Muslim terror attacks and Hillary's medical problems off of the headlines. Can I prove it? Absolutely not. But I can put two and two together. And I can tell you something else. Unless the American people stand up to this criminal machine that is out in the streets burning, looting, beating, the thugs will get a lot worse. The phone number, if you want to talk about it, is 855-400-7282. It is very hard for an individual to say that they were right so many times without being called various and sundry names. Did I not say to you that America is becoming a third world nation of terror? Well, that was sad. Wasn't that terror over the weekend? Muslim terror attacks? Riots? Excuse me, Charlotte, is that not riots? Mobs? Is that not what's going on in front of your eyes in Charlotte? Chaos? Is that not what's going on in your country? It's on the back of scorched earth. I ask you, can the nation recover from Obama's scorched earth policies? Progressive policies and open borders have poisoned America. Who can argue with that? Who can argue with the fact that America is becoming a third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos? Who can argue with my assertion that we are one bad election away from losing everything? Nobody. Now, here's the odd part of this whole story. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you this. So don't call it self-serving. It's real. You know, those of you who follow me on Facebook or on michaelsavage.com, that my book, S.E., will be listed as number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list next week for its first week. They list it as number 4. But what you don't know is that numbers 2 and 3 actually sold fewer copies than my book at number 4. And they skewed the list in order to not show you that two conservative books are leading the New York Times nonfiction list. There's a book by a television reader about World War II. He's living in the past, as do most of his viewers and readers. That's fine. There are a lot of people who like to live in the past. They like Guy Lombardo. They like Bill O'Reilly. They listen to metronomes at night to calm themselves down. Okay, fine. Good luck to them. He's number one. He has the television show. He has the metronome. He has the stuff like that. But he's a conservative in his own way. I'm number two, but they call it number four. But here's the funny part. They made a mistake. It says, I'm reading it right from what it's going to say. I hope they're not listening. It says, Scorched Earth by Michael Savage, Center Street. The radio host discusses what will happen after the administration of, quote, President Malbama. Now, as you know, I coined the phrase Malbama. It was very cute when I did it a few years ago. I've seen it everywhere. No one knows who coined it. I did. But isn't it odd that they would actually say President Malbama in the New York Times? Remember what I said to you? Why did I want you to buy the book? Well, of course I want you to buy the book. But what did I say would happen? It would go to the most important lists in the country, and they'd have to say the title of the book, which is Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. But they didn't say that. They said, host discusses what will happen after the administration of President Malbama. Somebody at the New York Times likes me. Somebody at the New York Times is worried. Somebody at the New York Times understands that he's a little mini Mao. Yeah, that's right. That's what just happened. Chaos, violence, riots, mobs, photographers thrown in the fire, CNN reporter attacked. Firearms are selling like crazy in Charlotte because the thugs are out in force in the streets. You know what has to happen. You know what would happen if it was any other president in history other than this devil. Other than the psycho devil in the White House, this would have been stopped a long time ago. Now, I know the law because I lived through the 60s, as I started to tell you. If you cross state lines to encourage a riot, you're committing a federal offense. It was put on the books in the late 60s during the Vietnam War protests, which were well-funded and well-organized by the Communist Party USA and all of the other vermin in America, including the National Lawyers Guild, the ACLU. All of them are subversive organizations who want to see it burn, baby, burn. All of these left-wing fanatics are enjoying the rioting, the mobs, the looting, the burning, the beating. They want more of it. Now, if any of them cross state lines, as I can only assume they did, to steam up the morons in the streets, the unemployed morons living on welfare or selling drugs, to riot and burn and loot and beat people up, if they cross state lines to do that, they have violated federal law. I mean, there's a federal law on the books. You cannot cross state lines to incite a riot. So there's no question in my mind that the white communist front, which is extremely powerful in this country, it goes all the way up to the White House. I'm sure there's an advisor sitting to Obama's left. He or she or they have committed a federal crime. Okay, who am I talking to? America. Is Loretta Lynch listening? Of course not. Loretta Lynch is not listening. She is the head of the Justice Department. She has the power to have them arrested for having crossed state lines to incite a riot. She won't do that. She's only looking to arrest people who are being beaten up to see if they said something wrong. So the same woman who is permitting Muslim terrorists to operate freely on our shores who won't preventively detain them, the same attorney general could stop the Muslim terrorism probably to the 90th percentile by preventively detaining those on FBI watch lists. She won't do that. She could arrest the communists and others who have and are crossing state lines to incite riots. It's against the federal law. She won't do that. So in essence, what do we have? We have a rogue administration. We have government anarchy. I'll say it again. We have a rogue administration. We have government anarchy. We do not have a government. Would you say this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? Of course not. This is a government that's oriented in only one direction, and that is the wrong direction. And I'm Michael Savage. And I wrote the book, and I'll be back
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You understand what I'm saying to you? These are atheists that are running America today. I saw an article. I almost fell out of my chair. I thought I saw it all. CIA's Brennan admits voting for Communist Party in 1976. What? CIA Director John Brennan admitted to supporting the Communist Party in the 1976 election last week during the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation's annual conference. You see, he was speaking about diversity in the intelligence community, which is a code word for something other than diversity. Diversity is a code word for perversity. So he voted in 1976 for the Communist Party candidate. That's the head of the CIA. Now, you ask questions of yourself. You ask why this is going on. You ask why the Black Lives Matter are rioting in the streets and the government does nothing. You ask why they are flooding non-assimilating Muslims into the country. You ask why the pigs, especially in the IT business, are bringing in H-1B visa holders to cut salaries. You ask why illegals are allowed to pour into this country, including those infected with many diseases, especially Zika. You ask why? It's not happening by accident. It's because weak-minded, unprincipled people are running the United States of America. These are like the 1960s college professors who have taken over the country. The government itself is full of incompetent, confused, and anti-American 60s radicals. They are placating Islam. They're placating Black Lives Matter, if not encouraging radical Islam and Black Lives Matter. But why are you surprised? A fish rots from the head down. What do you think Barack Obama is? What do you think his sympathies are? Where do you think his sympathies lie? You don't have to ask yourself the question. The question has the answer built into it. Now, there are rumors, by the way, that Mr. Brennan converted to Islam years ago after serving in the Middle East for years. I don't know if that's true. Why do we keep reading about it? Why do we keep reading that DHS chief Jay Johnson is also a Muslim? Why are American people saying these things on blogs? Are they all crazy? Maybe they are crazy. Would it matter whether the DHS chief Jay Johnson is a Muslim or a Christian or an atheist? No. What matters is he's the most incompetent head of DHS imaginable. Another Muslim attack over the weekend in New York City, a Muslim attack in Minneapolis over the weekend, and again, the DHS chief doesn't get fired. Why? Why? You answer why. How many different ways can he fail us? Every time there's an attack by a radical Islamist, I ask myself, how does he keep his job? How? Take a look at who's running the country. That's how. What more do you need to know? So look, I could go on and on all day long. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to eat my heart out. We are losing everything, and we are one election away from losing the entire nation. Because if Grandma wins, it's all over. Grandma will not only continue Malbama's policies, Grandma will magnify Malbama's policies. Grandma, in fact, is on record saying that she wants to increase the number of Muslim refugees by 550%. Now, what sane person on earth, after one terrorist attack after another, would say, shouldn't we slow down? Shouldn't we do proper vetting? Shouldn't we see if they have terrorist connections? A sane person would do that. But if you look at the eyes, the wandering eye, the slip and fall, the latest one, why am I not 50 points ahead? Did you hear that one? Play the 50 points ahead piece, Robert, please. This is very important. This is a nut job.
I will fight back against so-called right to work. Right to work is wrong for workers and wrong for America. Now, having said all this, why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask?
Hold on. The answer is quite simple. Because people think you're a little nuts and sick. They may even think that you're psychotic. They also think you're a power mad old lady who should just get off the stage already. The fact of the matter is she's not 50 points ahead. She's kind of a few points behind. As we get into the finish, the close to the end here, near the debates, I asked Donald Trump, who was on the show Monday, remember what I said to him? Who was the first state who I'm worried about the debates? I mean, now it's become an issue. He went on a Guy Lombardo show on Fox News the other, last night. I think they were playing some Guy Lombardo music from World War II when he was on Bill O'Reilly's show to get in the mood. And as they were playing the Guy Lombardo music to harken back to the good old days of the white man, I think he brought up the issue of he was afraid of the, you know, the debates are going to be biased. Of course they are. And he talked about Lester Holt on my show first. Do you remember that? Raise your hand. Come on. I don't have to repeat myself every day. Raise your hand if you remember him saying Lester Holt is a nice guy, but he's afraid of what he's going to do to him. He repeated himself on Guy Lombardo Jr.'s show. You heard that. You know, last night I had a good time. I need to take a break from this tension I'm under here, from the riots and the murder and the this and the that and the shoes. I went to dinner with an old friend of mine. You know what he reminded me of? I went into San Francisco. Great guy. And it was a young guy at the table with us, and he said to him, I remember when Michael started in radio in 1994 on KSFO. He was on the air, and he said he lost his eyeglasses, and he couldn't read anything, so he was going to do callers only. And he said, I was listening to his show that day, and I had invented a pair of glasses, a special apparatus, that you with like holes in it that you put over your eyes, and you could read no matter what your prescription is. And he said, I zipped over to the studios on my motor scooter, gave it to the guard who brought it up to Michael, and that's how we became friends. It's true. I want to thank Mr. MK for that particular memory last night. But there's more to the story than that. It reminded me that in the early days of talk radio, no matter what we were living through, we were all able to have a better time than we do now. The truth is that things were already drifting in the wrong direction. And we were trying to enlighten the American people while still having a good time. There's very little of a good time left on radio or television anymore. It's as though we're all in a civil war, a protracted, daily civil war without a minute of pleasure. I hope to change that for myself and my audience. And when I come back, I'll take your calls on all of these topics right here on the Scorched Earth Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
We out here like the mother Taliban. We out here like the Taliban. They done gas us. They done gas us and everything. We out here like the Taliban. You already know what time it is.
Direct from the White House. He's probably campaigning for a job in the Hillary administration. We out here like the MF Taliban. I don't know, maybe he could run DHS. Maybe they can make this medical student the head of the Department of Homeland Security. We out here like the MF Taliban. We out here like the Taliban. Yeah, that's what we need. We need him running DHS. Well, he could work for Hillary. There's no question about it. Or in some department, there's no question. If not DHS, this Charlotte protester. Can you stop calling them protesters, please, and call them criminals, thugs? Stop with the protester already. They almost burnt one of the CNN reporters alive. He's still calling him a pro. No, you didn't hear this one. They beat up a CNN reporter, Ed Lavandera. He's assaulted by one of the thugs during a live Charlotte coverage, and the guy says the protester is expressing his frustration, taking it out on me. You hear this? Now, I've told you liberalism is a mental disorder, but you never believe me. Here's an example of a mentally disordered CNN reporter talking to Skinny over there at CNN. What's his name? I don't remember his name. I have names for all of them. What's the guy? The cutie pie one. Who? Anderson Blooper. You got to hear Anderson Blooper talking to his guy in the street as he gets assaulted. The guy says they're taking their frustrations out on me. Instead of saying a thug punched me in the mouth, they're taking their frustrations out. This is nothing new. I grew up with liberals. Let's go to some callers. Brenda on KSFO. Brenda, what's on your mind?
Well, your longtime Savage S here. Dr. Savage, I want to tell you that I heard Donald Trump saying in front of a whole bunch of people about 45 minutes ago, hour ago, about, it was one of those quotes that you use about walking in a man's shoes. We have to walk in a man's shoes. Before, he was talking in regards to how he would handle these poor communities. First of all, he said he would not put up with any of this lawlessness. And then the next thing he said is that you're going to have to get in there and work on it. You know, so he was saying, you have to walk in a man's shoes. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's what Dr. Savage has said throughout.
But what does he mean, walk in whose shoes? The thugs who say they're like the Taliban? He's sympathizing with them?
No, I think what he was pointing out is about how there's a lack of jobs and the educational system is so
bad. You know, come on. Donald Trump, okay, I support him. You're telling me those thugs in the undershirts, the naked thugs, the half-naked criminal jailbirds who are running around in the gutters there in Charlotte, are going to work? Trump is going to create a job for them? What job are they fit for?
Oh, don't put up with it for a moment.
No, I want to know, what job are the thugs of Charlotte fit for? Tell me what jobs they would take. Tell me, they have no education, they have no skills, they can hardly speak English, they're probably illiterate. How can they work? What job can they hold?
What are we going to do now? We've got grandchildren.
What are we going to do? I don't know. I didn't create them. What did Obama do for the thugs over the last 8 years?
Incarcerate.
Tell me what Obama has done for the thugs in the streets over the last 8 years.
Well, that's
other than agitate them.
What Trump is referring to is the fact that the Democrats have done nothing but perpetuate it.
Well, all right. I mean, we know. All right. You have a copy of S.E.?
I don't.
You know, you got one now. Stay in the line. I think I'll say S.E. because then you're not jaundiced if I don't repeat the name of my book. You won't get as mad. So I won't be repeating the name of Scorched Earth at all. I'll call it S.E. That'll be our code word. Now, it's a big deal for me that I made the list because I have no TV show. Here's something. Oh, yeah, I meant to tell you this. Oh, stop the presses. Oh, all of you report every burp of Rush Limbaugh, the great genius Rush Limbaugh. He belches and it's the front page of Newsmax. Wait a minute, here's one for you. Megyn Kelly thinks that she's the queen of everything. Megyn Kelly thinks that she's a kingmaker. Megyn Kelly had Maureen Dowd on her show twice in a 24-hour period to promote her book. Do you know where Maureen Dowd's book is? Nowhere. No one can find it. She has no power. Megyn Kelly has no power whatsoever. They're all self-important. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Here's this little radio show with a, it's not small, but it's not a very large audience. I mean, it is and it isn't. Who knows? Compared to NBC, it's not big. I don't know the exact numbers. It's millions of people, whatever, this and that. It's one of the large radio shows, but it doesn't have TV. I have no lights, action, camera. Without a TV show, the book is like reported at number 4 in the New York Times list when it's really number 2. And Megyn Kelly's girl, her friend from the New York Times, Maureen Dowd's book bombed, a disaster. I don't think it sold more than Hillary's book, 2,900 copies. Well, I know Hillary sold 2,900 copies. That's with the entire media world behind it, which is an indicator, by the way, that Hillary is failing on a popular level. Or is that liberals don't buy books or they can't read? I don't know. Do you think the thugs in Charlotte read books? I would think they would burn books. I would think that if Hillary becomes president that she wants to have a book burning, she'd get the thugs to go into the libraries and pull out any book she doesn't approve of and have a large bonfire. That would be workable. It'd be the reverse of the Reichstag fire. My friends, what can I say to you? I want to hear some Latin music. That's what I want to hear. It's 20 to 1 and for me already, 20 to 1. For you already on the East Coast, it's 20 to 4. Nothing's happening, Philly. I don't know that guy's voice. You hear that alto songo? Those of you who think that I don't understand other things, I am the ultimate Steppenwolf. I function on many planes at once, and one of them is in a totally different plane from what you hear. What you hear is only one dimension of a many-dimensional character. And come January, I'll turn it off. They don't know what I'm talking about. 99% don't want to hear it. All they want to hear is thugs no good, police always good, even if they execute you. That's all they want to hear. Or all this good, all that bad. It's limited. It's one-dimensional. Come January, if I'm still here, God willing, and I hope to be. You know, you don't know every morning. You wake up. You read the prayer book, and the first thing the prayer book says is, thank you, God, for giving me life this morning. It kind of puts you in your place. I mean, most people wake up and they stretch and have a cup of coffee. The other types wake up, they have a juice and go run around the block. But they don't recognize the miracle of getting up to begin with. I do. I've always been in that world. I always know about that mystical world of the reality outside the reality. What I'm saying to you is we don't know what tomorrow will bring, let alone the next minute, the next second. My favorite scene in the old series, The Sopranos. Would you want to hear how weird it is? I'm so bored of television, I'm watching old Sopranos episodes just to see certain things happen. Like when one of the guys hangs himself because he can't move to Florida and he's a gangster and his son is a junkie. I mean, very touching. Very well written. I'd like to meet David Chase. Of all the television people, I don't even know what he's producing these days or writing. But I'm looking back on The Sopranos and I'm talking about life and death. There's a scene in there where one of the guys, one of the mob guys, is actually a rat. And no one knows he's a rat. He's one of the older guys. And then he's seen in a car with an FBI guy. And he says, hey, I got it on tape. I got Tony Soprano talking about robbing the... And he leans over and he's dead. He has a heart attack. I love to watch the heart attack scenes. There's another famous heart attack scene I like, as done, you know, by Hollywood. They really get it right where you're caught mid-sentence and you don't even finish a sentence. There was a Scorsese movie. Remember the movie where they're in the grocery store in Ohio where all of the guys who are really running everything hang out? They're like regular old Italian guys, but they're running the entire organized crime network around the country. And one of them owns a deli, a bad deli off a highway in Dayton, Ohio. Who knows where Ohio? And when the FBI breaks into his house at the end with his wife and the mother, and they serve him the warrant, he goes down on the floor. I love that. I love that scene. It's a peculiar sense of humor that I have. Why do I have that sense of humor? Because you got to remember, at the end of the day, people call me. I got family members freaking out over what Obama's doing. The country's in chaos. And they don't know what's going to happen if the old lady wins, if grandma wins. And they said, how can we take any more of this terror, the riots, the mobs, and the chaos, and the vermin in the media? How can we take it? They say to me. I say to them, look, I'm doing all I can do. I've been doing it for 22 years. There's only so much I can do. You can't change the world. Would you stop eating your heart out? I say this to family members because people are cracking up in this country. They don't know what to do. They see an evil criminal administration, if not looking the other way, actually aiding and abetting the terror and the crime. That's what they see. They're not blind. And they're panicked about her. She's not a different kind of Democrat. If she was a more American type, an honest type, let's put it to that way, someone who is not above the law, but is actually representative of the law, someone who you had faith in, someone who you know, if she became the president, she would straighten out the immigration nightmare, she would vet the Muslims, she wouldn't let the thugs in Charlotte burn a city down, she would send in the National Guard, she would do whatever she had to do, but we know she's the opposite. We know that she thrives on this kind of chaos, as does the genius in the White House right now. They know it. And they're panicking. So I say to them, listen, I've done everything I can for 20-some-odd years. I write books. I do a radio show. I go on the air for 3 hours a day after preparing for God knows how many. And you know what I try to do after the show is over? I try to forget it. If I didn't have the capacity to turn it off, I couldn't last. And that is true about all stress in your life. You got to turn it off. That's all I'm saying to you. What do you think? Everybody walks around every second eating their heart out? Even those you believe in, they have to also turn it off. That's why they talk about things like golf. Because they go to the golf course to forget it. Everyone has their way of dealing with stress. I have my way, they have their way. And you have to have your way. This is no joke anymore. We have a country in chaos. It's going up in smoke. And we know why. And it's only going to get worse. I'm sorry to tell you. It will get worse before it gets better, if it ever gets better. Now, I don't want to bum you out, but what month is this? Hey, it's only September. All you Virgos out there, it's only September, Virgos. How many months are left until this gang leaves the White House? That's if they ever leave. Let's put the conspiracy theory aside. If the gang should ever leave, they got another few months left. They got a big October. They got a November, December. They even got January. I think it's in the middle of January, right, when they do the shift. What did I tell you in the last months at about this time during the George Bush reign of lies, deceit, and war? You forgot what I said? Many of you do remember, your loyal listeners, I want to thank you for it. It was in August of that year that Bush was in the last months of his regime. And I said, wait a minute now, something is wrong. I looked at the data, and I learned that George Bush had increased the budget deficit. No one talks about that. anymore. That's forgotten already. Just let the goon in the White House print money. Let him print and give it to the poor. Let him print it and give it to the Goombas in the business that he's in. He prints money, okay, so he's bankrupting us. No one knows the difference. Nevertheless, George Bush, in the last months of his reign, in that August, I said to you, he has printed money. He's raising the deficit. I said, Bush is not through yet. He's a fiscal socialist by all definition. Now, many people didn't understand what I was saying, but George Bush was a fiscal socialist. He wasn't much different than Obama in his theories and how to run a government, by the way. He just had a different style. And that's why they're supporting Hillary and voting for her. They're identical. They're all the same. Nevertheless, I said, watch out what comes next. And what came next? Tell me what happened after I said that. Not the next second. We had the housing bubble collapse. Do you remember? Remember they burned the economy down? You remember the companies that went out of business? Do you remember how you lost money, many of you? Do you remember what they did to this economy? I warned you it was coming. I'll warn you again. And I'll warn it to you right now. We are only in the middle of September. Well, it's almost the end of September. He has got months left of his reign of terror. And he is practicing a scorched earth policy towards virtually everything in this country and the world. And he ain't through yet, my friends. He may be giving goodbye speeches, but they're just fluff. They're not goodbye speeches. His goodbye speech is best seen in Charlotte. That's his legacy, not what he's telling the plagiarist, Doris Kearns Badwin. I mean, goes to the historian known to be a plagiarist, Doris Kearns Badwin, the one who changes everything about every president, and he's telling her what his legacy is. Don't believe a word of what he's saying to Doris Kearns Badwin. The fact of the matter is, open your eyes and see what he's actually doing, and you will see what's coming. What's coming is not fiscal socialism. No, it's not going to be an economic blowout, although that could happen. It's going to be more chaos, more mobs, more riots, more terror. Unfortunately, that's true.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I just received a document from an unnamed source deep in the intelligence community that's working on what's really going on in the bowels of this nation. And they're telling me that Black Lives Matter is part and parcel of the warfare against the United States of America that is being conducted by the Marxist Islamist Front. And they quote something that I didn't know about, and that is the nonviolent Islamic movement's principle idea that the left is their best ally, and that Carlos the Jackal's 2003 statement that, quote, only a coalition of Marxists and Islamists can destroy the United States. I want to focus on that for a minute. Carlos the Jackal, 2003, one of the worst terrorists of the time, wrote that only a coalition of Marxists and Islamists can destroy the United States. Now, I ask you, do you see the riots in Charlotte? Do you see the non-reaction by the government and the media every time there's an Islamic attack in the United States of America? Do you see the flat-footedness or worse of DHS and FBI? Do you think it's all by chance? They say not. They say that it is through the skilled manipulation and co-optation of multicultural narratives that the Islamic movement has been able to manipulate racial and interfaith vulnerabilities to its advantage. And they write this. They are adept at managing the left's, quote, equality, racism, sexism, and social justice memes to its purposes. And they say the Islamic movement has co-opted cultural Marxist narrative to its end. You know what we mean by hate speech? It means any speech that exposes them. Any speech that exposes the connection between the radical Islamic movement, the radical Marxist movement in this government and elsewhere, is now declared to be hate speech. There's more on this when I return on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Yeah, poets. Master. Master. Yeah, the master of puppets are pulling his strings. How are you? You actually think the riots in Charlotte are about a cop who shot a black man? You're crazy. Now, the cop who shot the black man should be investigated. It looks to me like it was an unnecessary execution. I said it the other day. I'm not taking it back. She panicked and she shot him. That's my opinion at that time. It stands. Now, the riots have nothing to do with that. The riots were triggered, allegedly, by this incident. But in fact, there would be no riots of this magnitude. There'd be some peaceful protests for sure, from the useful idiots from the universities and elsewhere. All the bleeding heart liberals would come out with their signs in the midst of their sexcapades to feel that they're doing something socially useful. And they would have gone home without burning, looting, or beating people up. But then you've got people crossing state lines. In my estimation, there's got to be people crossing state lines from Communist Party USA, National Lawyers Guild, ACLU, who have steamed the whole thing up. To bring it all down, girl. This is a 1960s ethos. Bring it all down, man. Do you notice what has left the headlines since Charlotte caught fire? Well, let's see. Saturday, Sunday, there was Islamic terror in America. You forgot the dumpster bomb in Manhattan, conducted by a fine gentleman from of Middle Eastern origin. And then you forgot about the fine gentleman, the Somali Muslim, fine gentleman, a real upstanding American citizen. No doubt he was on his way to becoming a famous neurosurgeon, and a very important neurosurgeon, the Somali, but he snapped because of the stresses of this racist white society. And so he went into a mall, an indoor mall, and started slashing people with a big knife, a kitchen knife. And eight people got cut up like a butterball turkey. All those pictures were not shown, number one, but number two, they're no longer to be seen anywhere. But wait, I got more for you. What else has been knocked off the media? What else has been knocked off the headlines? Hillary's eye, the wandering eye. It was only last weekend, the weekend before, rather, that she went down like a side of beef and the shoe came off. That started the fall in the polls. She went down, unfortunately, a poor girl, like a side of beef and the shoe. She's pushing herself too hard for a woman her age. She's way past her prime. If she can't take the stress of a campaign, how could she take the stress of running a world like this? And that's why her numbers are plummeting. It's basically, people are just basically afraid that she won't be able to handle it. But you're not seeing the wandering eye anymore in the shoe. They're gone. They were expunged from the media. It's as though they never happened. Gone. Never happened. No side of beef thrown in a Chevy van. No shoe. No weird reports. And no wandering eye. All gone. Now, here she gives a speech, why am I not 50 points ahead, as she speaks to the union thugs. And she says she doesn't want any right-to-work states. Do you know what a right-to-work state is? It's your right to work without being without having union thugs controlling whether you can work or not. It was years, it took years, it took decades to get the union thugs out of the labor movement. Now, there was a time that they did very good for America, and then it was taken over by organized crime. Everybody knows that. Well, so states said we want a right-to-work state, meaning you can work without unions standing between the employer and the worker. And who was opposed to that? Hillary, the old lady. Now, I have a new poll out from a union representative, and you won't believe this. And it says 80% of Americans, including independents and Democrats, support the right-to-work principle. And according to a recent presidential poll, 51% of union household members who are likely to vote say they don't plan to support Clinton Kane. And at least 40% of union household members won't cast a vote for president at all. So this means that less than one-third of rank-and-file union members are supporting big labor-backed Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine. This is an interesting little... I don't expect you to remember. It won't be on your final exam. It will not be on your final exam. It may be on a small short answer test that I give next week, but it will not be on your final. It won't even be on the midterms come just before Thanksgiving. Here are some of the news headlines. Did you hear the Charlotte protester? Oh, no, it's hour two already. Well, no, here's one of Obama's street thugs in clip three. Let's hear it clean.
We out here like the mother Taliban. We out here like the Taliban.
Give me one of those.
They done gassed us and everything. We out here like the Taliban. You already know what time it is.
There it is. That's all. He's got a future job in the Clinton administration. Maybe the head of DHS. After all, he's got the army ready. All you got to do is give him weapons. Then all of them, you have the red brigades. What more do you need? It doesn't matter if he can speak a proper English. That, when did that ever stop anyone from a job in the federal government? Okay, maybe not DHS. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe he could work for the TSA. He might fit in better running a TSA. That's sort of what they have there now. Every time I go to take an airplane, which is as infrequently as possible, I feel like they're the people I've tried to avoid my whole life. They're now frisking me. The people I've spent my whole life trying to get away from. The people I've killed myself to move ahead in society so I never have to see them are now stripping me naked at an airport. Guys who look like they just came out of jail. They have their hands all over my body. And I mean, I'm not a beautiful young woman, but I find it offensive. Or let's say if you're a white Irish nun in her 90s in a wheelchair, they like to give her a frisking. But if you got a Taliban scarf, they usher you right through. No x-ray, no nothing. That's the world we live in, according to me. Now let's see the headlines in this hour. We didn't do the CNN reporter Ed Lavandera assaulted during live Charlotte coverage and then justifying the mob. He said, listen to this. You won't believe this. Here, you got to hear this one. It's amazing.
Well, there's no question. That line, we're just off to the side of it. We're helping some of our colleagues here, Anderson, who were in the middle of that, giving them water. But those police lines, pushing the crowd back away from that Omni Hotel area, which has been obviously the center of a lot of the violence tonight, and trying to push that crowd back. They were trying to get various people, agitators, out of the crowd, and as other people came in to try to grab those people.
That's all. They gave him a beating. They gave him a beating. That's all.
Well, Ed, are you
they're
okay?
Oppressed.
Yeah,
Anderson Blooper now gets nervous. Anderson pretends he can't. There he is.
Frustration.
Andy boy. Are you okay? Are you okay? Andy got a little flustered for a minute. Now you take care of yourself out. No, it's not a joke. The guy's doing his job reporting on the events, trying to stir up as much flame and fire as he can for ratings to keep Andy's ratings up. He's only doing his job. He's sticking microphones in the hands of criminals, asking their opinion of why they're criminals. Just doing the job that CNN is famous for. When one of the people he's sympathetic with gives him a punch in the nose and knocks him down. That's all. That's America at its best. And Hillary, of course, vowed to speak directly to white people to stop racial police shooting. That was on a show just the other day. Well, she spoke directly to white people. And Charlotte's on fire. That's all. Now, what is has Obama said one word about Charlotte? We're waiting for the great leader to speak. No, none. Has DHS spoken? No, nowhere. They're in training. Has Loretta Lynch said anything about it? Yeah, she's spoken. Let's see. What'd she say? Stop and frisk is no good? Because Trump said he would like to reintroduce stop and frisk. That worked very well when they had it in New York. Stop and frisk worked. They found the guns on the thugs and took them away from them. Well, now you understand why the ACLU didn't want that policy of stop and frisk. How can you have chaos if a thug doesn't have a gun? Here is Donald Trump on stop and frisk in clip 25.
Ray Kelly did a great job, and New York was not in a Chicago situation, but it was really in trouble. It was in bad shape, crime-wise, and with all of the shootings and everything. And Rudy Giuliani did a great job as mayor. And they really straightened things out with stop and frisk, and it was used further by the next mayor, Bloomberg. And now they just, you know, recently, not so recently, but fairly recently, they stopped it. But stop and frisk worked. We had tremendous numbers of shootings. Now, Chicago is out of control.
Now, of course, that's one side of the coin. And the other side is the communist side. And that's de Blasio in New York, who says that if you reintroduce stop and frisk, you're going to see more tensions between police and communities. Here is Karl Marx's surrogate in clip 26.
Stop and frisk was intensified for a limited period of time in the last decade in particular. And the bottom line is it created a huge amount of division between police and community. We ended that unconstitutional use of stop and frisk.
Oh, shut up.
That overuse.
Tell that to the old ladies being robbed of their money, you idiot, you. See, the communists are in control of everything. It created a huge amount of division between police and community. Of course it did. If the community consists of criminal thugs who are beating up old ladies in wheelchairs to steal their Social Security money, of course it's going to create a huge amount of division if the cops are going to stop that. Mr. de Blasio, what kind of statement is that? So we need very strong law and order. We need it from Donald Trump. We're not going to get it from her. In fact, Clinton said there's no need to take any neurocognitive tests, as her eye was wandering and her mind was wandering. Someone actually asked her in clip 27 on the Savage Nation if she would take neurocognitive tests, because people are asking. Look, we're not picking on a woman who was sick. Let me be very clear. I'm going to tell you something right now. She made a huge mistake. The day after she went down like a slab of meat and the shoe came off, I mean, it was not a... Look, it's not a pretty thing to say over and over again, but she went down like a slab of meat in the shoe, and they dragged her, threw her in the van, side of beef. Okay, so they resuscitated her now. They got her medded up. They got the cocktail correct for the occasional appearance. They got the titration is just right. What people are asking, is she fit to serve? Because we don't know what could happen tomorrow. I am going to tell you right now, if Grandma had come out the next day in a wheelchair with a blanket on her and said, I ask for your support, although I am much better now, this does not impair my mind, it may impair my body, I am fit to serve, that's it, she would have won. But because she tried to cover it up, like she does everything else, covered up the emails, covered up Benghazi, covered up the Clinton Foundation, that was the big error. They made a huge error, that campaign. You understand she would have got the sympathy? You don't attack someone who's sick. That's the way it is. It's just I'm telling you how human beings are. That's all. What time is it already? Time is a march, and it's 18 minutes after the hour. I can't believe the time is flying. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the riots in Charlotte, or they're over already? Do you want to concur with me that the riots in Charlotte are not happening by chance? Do you want to talk about the fact that as a result of the riots in Charlotte, Hillary's health has been forgotten as an issue? The Muslim terror of Sunday and Saturday has been swept away. Do you not see a connection? Am I the first and only one in the media to say, wait a minute? Yeah, I'm the first, but I won't be the last. Tomorrow someone else will announce it. They'll put it on the front of Newsmax. They'll give him a Pulitzer Prize for repeating what I said today. Here is Clinton saying no need to take any neurocognitive tests in clip 27.
I've met the standard that everybody running for president has met in terms of releasing information about my health. I have to say my opponent has not met that standard. So I am very happy that we have put out all the information that there is that reflects on my health. And I am physically, mentally healthy and fit to be president of the United States.
Would you be willing to take those tests, though?
There's no need for that. I mean, the information is very clear. And the information, as I said, meets the standards that every other person running for president has ever had to meet. And I'm happy that we've met and even exceeded them.
This reporter should get a prize. Quiet girl asks the question that all of the brave people at ABC wouldn't be. She's not working there anymore. She'll be gone. The reporter said, would you be willing to take those tests quietly? And Miss Smiley Face said, no need to take those tests, little girl. I guarantee that little girl doesn't have a future at ABC News. I guarantee you she's on the way to nowhere land. Oh, I guarantee you that little reporter who did her job, who out-trumped everybody in the media by asking that one simple question, would you be willing to take those tests? Ah, but sure. You know, I don't need to take no tests of no kind because I'm so fit like a fiddle.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. They played this music outside a Black Lives Matter meeting. I wonder if it elevates the dialogue at all, some great white music. I just wonder if it's the rap music, what it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the water they're drinking. No, I think it's the Marxism they've been ingesting their whole life. So, you know, I was thinking about something. This is radio is much different than any other medium. It's a much more intimate medium. It's more holistic, as we used to say in the old days, than television. It's not going to be the same as just reporting on what's going on and talking about it. And we've done that. We're doing that. We will do it. But in a holistic sense, it's more about the host than it is about the news. And it's a part and parcel of who I am that has you tuning in and listening to. So now I come out of left field with something you're never going to expect. And that is this. Okay. New York Times bestseller list. I made it to the list week one. They're saying four. It's really two. They're underreporting the sales or juggling it around to make a comedian look like she's doing better than me because she's a psycho-liberal. All right, we expect that. They don't want you to see that the top two books on the New York Times nonfiction list are by conservative authors. They don't want you to see that. All right. So it's my fourth or fifth book in a row that made the New York Times list, which is the gold standard, by the way, of lists. There are other lists, but it's an important one. Everyone reads it. So my publisher is thrilled. They're saying, we want your next book. And I said, hold on now. I'm not doing another political book. I told my audience, this is it. I'm not going to lie to them. And they said, okay, we'll go with what you want. I said, the next book is my, I have to give God something. God gave me this. I got to give God work of God. So they don't quite understand what I'm saying. They like me, and they figured that whatever I do, people will accept. Now, I don't know that that's true. I don't know if the audience out there is ready for a book from me or by me about the Bible and God. But I'm going to do it. Whether I do it with a publisher or myself, I don't know. But I have to pay back he who gave me all. And I just want to talk about it for a minute. You have to indulge me for 2 minutes. I know you're hanging up already. You want the other side of the same. I can't do it, May, every second. The riots. I'm not going to do the riots. I'm going to do the cause of it all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
You know, I know a lot of people who are not religious and keep saying, you know, it's terrible. We were once a great Christian nation and the churches are empty and the mosques are filling up. They always want someone else to go to church. People who don't go to church don't believe in God. They want someone else to go in the church. Oh, it used to be a Christian nation. Why are the churches empty? I said, well, why don't you go? No, it's not for me. It's for those other people, but I wish they were there. Well, you are the other people. As I said many years ago, 20 years ago, we've gone from St. Christopher medals to dream catchers in one generation. I mean, when I was a kid, every car in New York, it seems like every other car, there was a Catholic owner. They had a little St. Christopher's thing on the dashboard. I didn't have one, but I liked that there were people who believed in God. And then suddenly I wake up, and it's post-Obama, and there's dream catchers hanging off mirrors. There's so many things hanging off mirrors, I don't know how they can see through the windshield. Mirrors and beads and voodoo. There's voodoo things hanging off the mirrors, and the country is melting down. It's total anarchy. So what I'm trying to get at is something interesting from my point of view. Nobody lasts forever. There's a, what are those things that you turn upside down with I can't remember what it's called, where there's sand on one side. A sand, whatever. I have an hourglass. So you turn an hourglass upside down, you watch the sand. Well, in my case, and I'm not trying to pull a tearjerker on you, there's more sand on the bottom than there is on the top. Let me put it to you that way. I was also at a time when there was more sand on the top than on the bottom, and I thought there was unlimited time to do everything. There is not unlimited time to do everything in any person's life. So what I'm saying to you is, I've just knocked another ball out of Yankee Stadium. It's called scorched earth. What more do I need to do to prove to myself or anyone else that I can do it? I began as a writer. That's what I fundamentally am, as a writer. But behind the writer, there's something else. And I don't know what that something else is, but this is very important for you to know. When I was down and I was out, I had to go down to the core of my being, and I had to reach out to the man upstairs, if you want to put it that way, in a more colloquial sense. And I had to ask him to save me. And I did. It didn't happen like a boom went off or lightning struck or Charlton Heston appeared in my living room with a ticket to a university. I had to keep asking for it. And it took me 20 years to climb out of that hole. See, God helps those who help themselves. He doesn't give you anything. he, by reaching out to God, maybe you can help yourself. So that's one of my own little story. I don't want to get too much into that. So when I say I've knocked another ball out of the park, I mean it. So I'm saying to my great publisher, look, if you want to do another book with me, it may not be a big commercial success. Here's what I want to do. I got to pay God back. So he said, all right, well, tell us whatever you want to do, because they figure a number of you are interested in this. So I want to read something to you. Either if I don't practice what I preach, then whatever I do is a lie, correct? So sometimes I don't practice what I preach sometimes. Like occasionally I'll eat a high fat cheese, even though I've written health books. Occasionally I'll eat a hot dog once a year. Twice a year I'll eat a steak, even though I know it's poison for me. I know it. So we all do things that we know aren't good for us, but we do it. It's the same spiritually, right? So what I did was recently is I was having bad dreams. And really, I mean, I can sleep through bad dreams. I've learned how to live with that my whole life. It's nothing to me. I can sleep through the worst nightmare on earth. So, oh, another one. That was great. Can't wait to go to sleep. Don't know where my mind will take me tonight. What horror show awaits me? I go to sleep and it was like nightmare, like nightmare movies every night. That's like, I could sleep through it though. Because I learned a long time ago, it doesn't really matter if you have nightmares as long as you sleep through them. I mean, it's like a bad movie. So I said, wait a minute. There must be a way for me to deal with this. So I go into a prayer book, an ancient Hebrew prayer book that a very religious man gave me. And there's a prayer, one paragraph prayer that I've been reading for about a week now, prayer before retiring at night. You say, well, is there magic? You see, if religion doesn't work, it's of no use at all. If religion has no effect on your life, there's no reason to go to church or synagogue. In other words, if it doesn't make you feel better, what good is it? What, are you waiting for the next world? That's a big gamble, my friend. That's a huge gamble to throw away all of life's pleasures on the chance that you're going to be rewarded in the next world. You're starting to sound like those who think they're going to get 68 virgins or whatever the number is for killing you. So I can't live for the next world. I don't even know if there is a next world. This is the only earth I know of, and this earth is the only heaven that I know of. This is also the only hell I know of. So if I figure out, if this stuff has worked for thousands of years for others, were they all stupid? What, are they all idiots? I love people, oh, they're all idiots. Religion is for idiots. Really, all those millions of people through history who were and are religious, they're all idiots. You're the only smart one. So I want you to hear this. Because, I tell you, my dreams have stopped, the bad ones. I sleep like a baby now. It's better than any herbal tea I've ever taken. Prayer before retiring at night. Can I read you one paragraph? It's weird. I never thought it would be like this. You thought it would be something else. It says, Master of the Universe, I hereby forgive anyone who has angered or vexed me. That's the first thing you say. I stand and the dog looks like there's a different person in the room. He thinks I'm crazy. He sees me standing near the mirror with the book. And he's looking at me, what the heck are you doing now? Master of the Universe, I hereby forgive anyone who has angered or vexed me or sinned against me, either physically or financially, against my honor or anything else that is mine, whether accidentally or intentionally, inadvertently or deliberately, by speech or by deed, in this incarnation or in any other. I swear to God, may no man be punished on my account. May it be your will, Lord my God and God of my fathers, that I shall sin no more nor repeat my sins, neither shall I again anger. You, nor anger you, nor do what is wrong in your eyes. The sins I have committed erase in your abounding mercies, but not through suffering or severe illnesses. They cover all bases there. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, our Father, let us lie down in peace, our King, raise us up to do a good life and peace, improve us. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, you're supposed to forgive anyone who insulted you or robbed you or sinned against you in this life or any other. It allows you to go to sleep and not think about all of these things. Now, there's much more to this prayer before retiring at night, but I want to give you a little taste in common parlance of where my head is going. I mean, these are simple things that have calmed people for centuries. And in these anguishing times, it's very important that I share with you some of these ancient methods of calming the human soul. These are perplexing times. These are times that produce anxiety. And in our society, what we try to do to treat this anxiety is obviously to anyone, they all do their own thing. They run or they exercise or they I don't know, take a pill or drink a tea or this or that, meditate, Pilates, sex, who knows, whatever people use to calm them down. But this is a palliative that has been with us since the Rock of Ages was written. You see what I'm saying to you? And I just wanted to put it out there because I'm going to put it out there, God willing, next year. A year from now in the cycle, I don't care who wins. I don't want to do a book about Clinton. I don't want to do a book about Trump. What else is there to do next year? I've said that to people. I said, let's say Clinton wins. We know what she's going to do. She's going to destroy everything that's worth living for. She'll turn us into like another European vassal state. Every one of the horrible things that have been done to Europeans will be done by this woman. She just put out an edict today. She's going to raise taxes. Are you ready for this one? To bring it down home. She proposes a 65% top rate for estate tax. Did you listen to what I just said? That means money that has already been taxed many times will be taxed again by the criminals who run the government. So if you've, let's say, built a business or you've worked your whole life and you have a family farm and you want to pass it on to your children, she will steal it from you. And she wants to do that because that is part of the protocols of communism. Do you understand? When I say communism, we're not talking about full-blown Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin. We're not talking about that. Get over it already. It's communism by decree and by degree. 65% on estates. So you won't be able to pass your farm or your business on to your child. It's going to get higher than that, by the way. She's going after people who have contributed to this society and pay taxes through the nose. You get what I'm saying? So that's what I'm trying to say to you. So if you think, oh, practices an SC policy, you are right. Grandma will magnify the SC policy on every level. She is going to raise the stakes in ways you could never dream would happen. She's telling you what she's going to do. Now, I'm sure that the Black Lives Matter will love this message. Because they got nothing to live for anyway. They got nothing to live for, so what do they care if they tax the rich? They don't care. To them, anyone who owns anything is rich. Why, the store they just looted, that's a rich person. That's not a person who struggled their whole life to build a grocery store. That poor Indian immigrant whose store they just burned to the ground after robbing everything out of it. No, he's a rich pig. And the shoe store that they just broke into for shoes? Well, they were protesting. They needed new shoes for the protest. They didn't want to look bad during the protest. You can't blame them. I mean, if you're an oppressed minority and you have old shoes and you're going to be on CNN, I mean, it's important that you be seen wearing new shoes. And since the government doesn't give you shoes yet, you need to break into a shoe store and rob the shoes. Shoe shopping. Picky Charlotte rider sizes up shoes during looting, during their rioting spree. Keith Scott getting out of his car with a gun in hand, approaching police before. This is the second riot. This is a different story than the one I talked about. Keith Scott, the second one who was shot, came out with a gun. The other one was just broken down on the road. That was another story. But this looter went shoe shopping. And they have it on the Gateway Pundit. And the guy says, oh, snap, they're just my size. And he says, it was looter's paradise last night in Charlotte. Took all the Hornets gear. I'm bad at sports, so I don't know what team that is. See? Well, that's part of the rioting. Because if you're an oppressed minority, and you're going to be interviewed by Anderson Cooper or one of his wonderful people out in the street, would you want to appear with old shoes and look like you're a poor rioter? You'd want to be dressed well and be dressed for the occasion. Because think about how much better your chances are in our society if you have new shoes. It doesn't matter if you robbed them or ripped off the man. What matters is that your shoes look good on camera. Because then Anderson will like you more. In fact, if you wear new shoes, there's a good likelihood that Anderson might invite you to New York for an in-depth interview. And if your shoes fit really well, and you ripped off, let's say, a jacket to go with it, you could be in the White House in a day or two at some dinner with him. You never know. I mean, that's why it's justified to take what you can get during a riot. Because you never know where it might lead. That's the important thing to remember. America is a perennial land of opportunity.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Tulsa police officer is going to be charged with first-degree manslaughter. That was pretty quick. Remember the other day, that woman cop, I said, panicked and shot that poor black guy who had no gun. He broke down on the side of the road, and many of you attacked me saying you don't know what went on. Well, D.A. Stephen Kunzweiler just announced minutes ago that police officer Betty Shelby, the woman I said panicked, will be charged with first-degree manslaughter in the death of Terrence Crutcher. That's all. I wasn't wrong. And the fact is that let the courts decide what happened here. She's a police officer. She panicked. She just panicked and shot the guy. It was unjustified by what I saw. And the fact of the matter is she's been indicted. And courtrooms must be the source of justice. Must be the source of justice. And that's all there is on that particular story. Let me take a couple of quick calls right now. KSFO Lyle, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yes, sir. You definitely need to write that book about the Bible. God bless you, sir. You should. Oh, that's all I need to really say. Just do it. You're like Pastor.
All right. Well, there are still religious people out there, you know. They're not all like lunatics in some mega churches somewhere. There's a lot of people listen to this show who believe that God saved them, believe that the Bible guides them. And I think that maybe my interpretations would be of some value to them. I don't know. We'll have to see. It's one man's journey. These books have a very risky proposition. So I'm not doing it for financial reasons. I guess that's what I'm saying to you. I made a commitment in bed last night, to myself, that is, that I had to say that because no one was there. I didn't make a commitment to anyone. I made a commitment to myself and to whoever was listening. I said whatever money I make from this God book, I'm going to donate only to religious causes. Only religious groups are going to get the money. The little publishing company that puts out tractates about God or the Bible, they're going to hear from me anonymously. But it's going to be a year from now. That's what I'm going to do. It's my way of feeling I'm giving against something. Over the years, I've helped soldiers. I've helped police. You know, there was a soldier who came out. Remember, he was really banged up from Afghanistan, and they took his dog away. Remember, I bought him a van? I bought him a van. I never heard from him again. Okay, he's probably too wrecked to even remember. I gave him a new van. I got his dog back. Remember that? So occasionally along the way, you can do something for someone. And that's all I'm trying to say is I don't have to knock out another book next year about, let's say Hillary wins. What am I going to write? How bad she is? You're going to buy that book? Think about this. Okay, let's say Trump wins. What would that book be about? How bad he is? Because you know he's not going to give you what you want. You know that already. I can tell you right now, if you get 50 on the dollar, you're lucky. So you could do a whole, there's a whole book waiting to be written about Trump said this and he wasn't a true conservative and I knew it all along and here's the proof and I was right and he's wrong and he's nothing but a neocon. There's a whole book. There's an industry of anti-Trump books being written before he even wins. That's if he can even win. They're writing it already. They got the chapters in advance. They're laying him down on the press. How Trump lied. But he's the only chance we have on any level. It's as simple as that. Again, I just want to thank you for this. I have faced the fangs of affirmative action many times in my life where they've stolen my birthright from me in hiring, employment, in scholarships and prizes. But you know what? Numbers don't lie. And the New York Times has stolen my success in the past to push their leftist agenda and reward their friends. They did it when I published the novel Countdown to Mecca in March of 2015. It outsold four books in the New York Times fiction top 20, but was not even on the New York Times list. So now, Scorched Earth, their listing is number 4. And it's actually number 2. What am I going to do, cry about it? No, not going to cry about it. So Bill got number 1. He's got the TV show, and all the people like Guy Lombardo and things like that are buying the books. Those are people who like Metallica are buying my book. There's a lot more people like Guy Lombardo, apparently.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We out here like the motherfucking Taliban. We out here like the Taliban. They done gas us. They done gas us and everything. We out here like the Taliban. You already know what time it is.
Having a good time. You're picking shoes out, clothing, sports gear. Well, it's because it's a riot. What do you do in a riot? You get new shoes. You get a new sports outfit. It's all in the name of social justice, of course, especially since the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild, and they're telling them exactly what to do in order to bring it all down, man. That's what goes on. That's all. That's all, folks. It's not Bugs Bunny. Meanwhile, in New York City, because of liberal policies, it is no longer safe for the city's senior citizens to go outside. No. No, no, no. Stop and frisk is no good, says the commie mayor. But they're robbing old people as they walk their dogs, sit waiting for buses. They're getting beaten up. Old people, as they lean on their canes, sit in their wheelchairs, shoved to the ground, kicked while they're robbed. Oh, but old Mayor de Blasio, the old commie wobbler, says, oh, no, no, stop and frisk is no good because it creates a division between police and the community. What do you mean by the community? What, there's no community other than the thugs? What does Mayor de Blasio mean, the community? It's always like a code word, community. That's like the old code word, inner city. We all know what they meant by inner city. Now it's community. Community. Like there's no other community. Strong-arm robberies of senior citizens are up 7.8% citywide. That's nothing. Now, if you have a gun and you're protected by Secret Service, what do you care? I mean, if you're an 85-year-old senator in San Francisco surrounded by Secret Service, you're not going to be mugged in a wheelchair. And so what's the difference to you? On September 11th, the purse snatcher who attacked wheelchair-bound 85-year-old Bernice Starnes in the Tremont section of Bronx taunted, why don't you run after me? You hear this? And Tuesday, a 72-year-old woman in Midwood, Brooklyn was knocked to the ground from behind. Purse snatch, face scraped by the pavement. But you don't want any stop and frisk. You don't want the police to arrest the thugs in advance because that might be offensive to the community. You know, you don't want a community to be offended, targeting senior citizens. That's the world of communism. It melts down. Eventually, when you'll be struggling over a loaf of bread, you'll say I was right. Well, just see, take a look at what's going on in South America as a result of socialism. Go study your Marxist 101 at NYU or Berkeley and see what it leads to. Oh, yeah, you're nice, fat, and happy now. You get all the drugs, all the sex, and all the food that you want right now. But if socialism should take power, as it will under Hillary, because she said already what she's going to do, raise taxes immediately, probably put out the talk radio, put out the lights of freedom in this country. She didn't say it. She wouldn't dare say it, but we know what her and Sidney Blumenthal would like to do. They're on record for having tried to do it. Then you'll say, how could that happen here? How could it happen here? I'm a good progressive. I didn't think that it would lead to this. Well, it does happen there. All right, I covered the waterfront already of news and the views. I gave you everything. I gave you news, the views, the reviews. I've informed you that my book, Scorched Earth, is number 4 in its first week on the New York Times list. Even though it's number 2, they made it number 4. Meaning it outsold the liberal comedienne, and they made her ahead of me because they want to show you that liberals are doing better, but they're not. The two number 1 and 2 books in nonfiction are me and the guy who plays Guy Lombardo in his 8-tracks in his Lincoln Continental. Bill, the 6'5" guy, he plays. I understand his favorite music is Guy Lombardo 8-tracks in his old Lincoln Town Car, and that's why he's number 1. Why would anyone buy? In this day and... Oh, my God, I just hit something, everything. Robert, I pulled a wire. I got excited when I said Guy Lombardo. Am I still live? My whole Telos kit went off. I was getting so excited thinking about listening to Guy Lombardo when I go off the air. I was going to call up Bill in New York, email him. You know, he's a good friend of mine, loves me. And I was going to ask him if he could share some of those old Guy Lombardo 8-tracks with me. Maybe he could send them by express mail so I get here in a week or two. Who would buy a book about the final years of World War II at a time of Islamic terror, other than people who have Guy Lombardo 8-tracks and they had Lincoln Town Cars? But okay, it's a big world. If you want to read about World War II over and over again, go ahead. Doesn't matter to me. Because they go in to buy the World War II book, then they go over to the sound section, they get the vinyl, a Guy Lombardo vinyl, over the soundtrack at B&N, and then they find my book, Scorched Earth, and they buy that. The radio host discusses what will happen after the administration of President Mao Obama. How they put that in there, I'll never understand. I remember coining the phrase that got picked up. It was all over the place. It was very clever. But where did I say Mao Obama in this book? Where'd they pick that up? Did I actually call him Mao Obama in this book? Not Alabama. Mayo Obama. Not mayonnaise. Mao Obama. Mao Obama. M-A-O Obama. I think it's in there. Where is this? Communists use sexual liberation or oppression to undermine us. Religion is a Trojan horse. It's not xenophobic to fear fundamentalist Muslims. The war over God, guns, gays, Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. That's pretty good. Why Christians and Jews must retain their traditions. What is a 21st century conservatives? Conservatives are defining themselves to death. The real constitution. Watching sailors apologize for being captured. Putin presses in Syria while Obama just bends. Survival of the fittest. Will the victors speak Arabic? The internet exposes ISIS, the modern-day Mongols. That's a really good subchapter. How to win a cyber warfare. I should win a Pulitzer Prize for that chapter, subhead alone. How to win a cyber warfare. I should be invited to the White House and be given the Presidential Medal of Freedom for that one. Bring back UAC, call it LAC, Love America Committee. And that's it. Those are some of the reasons people are flocking to the old store. But I told you in the last hour, this is it for politics for not, it's not going to be next year. I'm not doing another political book. I don't know what 2 years or 3 years will be. This is it for now. I don't know if I'll be here in 2 years. I mean, on radio. No one knows. I told you that. Each breath you don't know. And I'm a man of action who lives in the present. What do I know? It's tomorrow. You know what tomorrow's going to bring? You sure yourself? You're that sure yourself? You expected after she slipped and fell and was thrown in the van like a slab of meat that she'd be back on her feet? You didn't expect that. You expected that Trump would be beating her by now? You didn't expect that. You didn't expect any of this stuff. You expected Obama to unleash the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild in the streets of America through the thugs that Soros gave $70 million to wipe it off the headlines? You expected that to cover up the Muslim terror of last week? And you forgot it already. You forgot the Somali Muslim who knifed 8 people in a mall. They didn't forget it. They're going to have lifetime memories of their experience with multiculturalism. Yeah, he sought out white people who weren't Muslims. Ran through the mall. He asked them if they're a Muslim. If they didn't know what to say, gave them a knife job. And a really big knife job, too. I'm not talking like a paper cut. Oh, they'll never forget that day in Milwaukee, but you forgot it already. And the bomb in New York is forgotten already. They're dancing already. The clubs are open a second later. Dancing. The ship's going down and they're back dancing. The dumpster bomb. He was forgotten already. A big manhunt. Forgot the Muslim to set the bomb off because he hates the infidels. How did it happen that you forgot it already? Through brainwashing. This is what brainwashing is. The government unleashes the thugs in the streets. And the thugs in the streets take over the headlines with a little help from guys like Anderson Blooper. Around-the-clock coverage of the thugs. They give more coverage to an illiterate thug in the gutters of Charlotte than they give to a Nobel Prize winner in neurochemistry. That's, that gives you some idea of the mind of America. That's all. The Nobel Prize winners you never see. No, you don't see the Nobel Prize winner astrophysics. There's a NASA station I watch at night when I can't take any more of this world. There's a crazy station of NASA. And it like shows like geniuses and the space traveling guys who can figure out how to launch a rocket and get it there and get it back and bring back soil and green. I never saw anything like this. And we know nothing about these people. Brilliant geniuses. Anderson Cooper doesn't visit them because not burning, looting, murdering. They know which bathroom to go into. You know, so why would you go on CNN? If a man knows to go in a men's room and a woman knows to go in a woman's room and they're smart enough to become an astrophysicist, why would you want to invite him onto CNN? Instead, you'd go to the gutters of America, to the latrines of the world, to the cesspools of the nation, to the outhouses of the organization. You'd find the lowest scum you could find in America and bring them up into CNN with a new pair of stolen sneakers. And you wonder why I have such love for the media. Well, now you know why. Because they made everything better for the American people. There, I got it out of my system. Thank God I have radio. When I started radio 22 years ago, people said to me, you're not going to last a week. You won't last a month. I said, why? You're too hot to handle. No one's a conservative in the Bay Area. No one ever heard anything like this. It's not going to last in the radio. You're too New York. Your voice is too New York. You're too inflammatory. You're too incendiary. You're too gruff. I don't know. How did it last? How did it last? Because I couldn't be alone. I wasn't alone. My thoughts were not alone. They weren't mine only, in other words. So here we are. And it's gotten a lot worse now. Because there's more of them than there are us. Or they vote more. I don't know what it is. And if they don't, they import them to vote. Whether they have Zika, malaria, it doesn't matter. Just think of it. Every hot body that comes in from Honduras can now vote. Illegally, of course, but that doesn't matter. There's no such thing as an illegal voter to a Democrat. As long as the thing is alive, if it's alive, that's if the being is alive, it can vote. If it has a pulse, they can have it vote in San Francisco. I understand anything with a pulse is allowed to vote for the U.S. Senate race here in San Francisco and the mayor. A pulse, any sign of a pulse, an amoeba can vote in San Francisco. I hear they have the ballots in an amoeba-like language now that only amoeba can understand. The pseudopods now vote. They put the pseudopods. Where is it? I'm trying to warm the audience up. I get a feeling they're not there anyway. It happens every time in the third hour, the same thing. I come out here. It's a different feeling, admittedly. Station shift, this and that. Third hour. But my mood shifts. I go more into a little like lighter thing and a little stand-up. And nothing like a dead zone. I'm working the audience here, and I feel no reaction. Can anyone explain to me, are you listening to this show? Where are you? I want you to call right now, 855-472, and anyone who gets on the air will get nothing. Now you're going to see if I have callers. I'm not giving out a free book, not one free book this hour. The only people who will get on this show in this hour are someone who have anything, people who have something to say. Still nothing, no reaction, nothing. It's like a dead show. No, this is like working an audience that left. I don't know if they leave in the third hour or what happens. I feel as though they like walk out of the theater in the third hour. I heard it all. I don't want to hear. It's true for every radio show. The third hour is like dead. They say not, but it is. Like drops right off. Third hour is like a mailed-in show for most people. It's like, all right, we'll take callers now. The guy's in the back doing his nails, clipping his toenails, and you know, they let those guys go on for 2-3 minutes. You know it's a dead. Listen, you know a show is dead when they take a caller who is so bad. And you ever ask how they stay on the air? 2 minutes, 3 minutes later, the guy's rambling. The host is doing his nails or brushing his teeth somewhere or heating something up on the stove. That's why. That's how that goes on. I cut you off if you're boring. Or if you make your point already, that's it. It's enough. I went out to dinner with a friend last night. We're both from New York. He's older than me. But we talk rather quickly. If the guy don't make his point, we interrupt each other. We cut each other off in a nice way. I ask him about how the fish was. I don't want to listen to him over and over again. He pulled out something political. I said, put it away. I don't want to see it. Sitting in a nice place, a clubhouse, a club of some kind. She tries to give me something on a Muslim. I said, come on, I'm off duty. I said, he wouldn't put it away. I gave it to my assistant to put it away. Then when we left, I said, throw it away. I don't want to see politics like that. I read this for a living. But the point is that we don't ramble on with each other. If I'm having dinner with a guy from like where I come from, we make our point that we don't listen to the other person. If a guy starts telling me something, and within 10 seconds he can't make his point, I raise my hand, waiter, bring me another drink. I cut him right off. He don't even know I cut him off. I just get the drink. What were you saying now? Yeah, not bad. Okay, cut it out. We heard it. I heard it already. Same with radio. Same thing. But the third hour is a different tempo. You got to admit that. It's absolutely different. First of all, I'm happier because I've already climbed Mount Olympus. The first 10 minutes of a radio show are like launching a rocket. That's where most of the energy has to be spent to get the rocket up out of the atmosphere. Never make no mistake about it, but I was sailing along pretty good from 15 minutes into the show. Okay, I did an interview this morning, almost burnt my voice out. I don't like doing interviews before my show for books. No, no more. The Skype, the Schmipe, I have to put on a suit, a tie. I have to wear a suit, the kite, the gabardine. I don't want to wear it anymore. I like dressing normal. I'll be back in a minute to talk to you right here. Don't go away.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, I'm back. What a long break. It means we're doing well. We have a lot of advertisers, so that's a good thing. If it wasn't a long break, I wouldn't be here. In other words, I had no... Let's say, I can't stand the advertisers. Well, there'd be no show. Let's say there were no ads, so then I wouldn't be on at all. That's the thing to remember, okay, if you don't like all the ads. Buy this stuff already. KSFO, Robert, line 3, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah, third hour, man. It rocks pretty good. It's like Lenny Bruce, that third hour, man. I'm at KSFO. I drive truck every
good.
Day. I listen from 12 to 3 every day.
Thank God. All right, then I'm gonna violate my own statement. I'm giving you a copy of Scorched Earth. That's all. Stay on the line. KSFR. I mean, a lot of local people are saying they like the third hour. I don't hear it from the other cities. Yeah, my local audience who knows me for the last 20 years, they seem to like it and get the shtick, even though I'm not from around these parts. No one is. That's what I love. The only people who are from around these parts are the Miwok Indians, and you know what that did for them. I love all the people who claim they're Bay Area, real Bay Area. They're all from somewhere else. The mayor's from somewhere else. Mayor was never on a boat. I love that the former mayor of San Francisco, admittedly, I found out from the backside, never went out on San Francisco Bay. They don't even know what the Bay feels like, but they're all from the Bay Area, the real Bay Area people. I love this provincialism, this stupid provincialism of the San Francisco area. Oh, I'm from the Bay Area. What does that mean? Where are you from? What do you mean you're from where? What do you mean from? What do you mean you're from? Are you from or are you from somewhere? Are you from somewhere or from somewhere? KSMO Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, love your show, Dr. Savage. I love the third hour. I'm always coming out from one job site and driving.
I bet you know. I bet you can't listen to it in the first 2 hours, right?
No, I do. Yeah, I'm driving at all different points of the day. I go to different.
All right, so you hang in there for the third. You also get a book because you can't afford to buy it. I'm not kidding you. A lot of guys are working their behinds off. They're not burning cities down and stealing sneakers. Okay. You're getting a free copy of Scorched Earth. You know, there's one thing to notice of all the stores being looted in Charlotte. The one business that is good to be in down there is like Barnes & Noble or a book business. I mean, they're going for the sneakers, the clothes, the sports clothes, burning, looting, smashing your windows. But if you're in the book business, you don't have to worry about a thing. No one's breaking into your store down there. Like, apparently Black Lives Matter doesn't want to break into a bookstore for some reason. I don't get it. Can anyone explain that to me, why they're not breaking into Rob's Scorched Earth? I would think it would be a hot topic to read. I mean, their boss is in there all over the place. It's all about Obama. It's all about, what's his name? Soros? Churis? Soros? George Soros?
Savage.
Yeehaw. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
And why did
Hour 3. New tempo. Different tempo. Different tempo. So today she released a little tax plan attacking the middle class right at the core, meaning you work all your life, you pay taxes, you keep your nose clean. She wants to take away whatever money you've put away for your children and tax it at 65%. She wants the criminal government that taxed you 16 ways to the end of your life to take away 65% of what you saved your whole life. I got to tell you something. Do you know that China does not have an estate tax? Do you know that Russia does not have an estate tax? Do you know that this criminal government has one of the highest estate taxes in the world and she wants to raise it? That's what you're going to get from her. So if you like Malbama, you can keep your Malbama. This time it will be in the form of a woman, grandma. Grandma will be the new Malbama, but much worse. At least with him, he has a nice demeanor. I mean, I can't, you know, this is the problem. This is a weird thing. I'm going to miss him once he's gone. That's if he actually, let's say he leaves. You start to miss the lady, even though they're terrible. Like Bush, I couldn't stand them, but I missed them. I wished he was back, you know, when Obama took over. Then you get used to the, like they give so many speeches, and then they're kind of like a part of your geography, like, all right, there he is, but now he's gone. You're going to miss the guy when he's gone. He doesn't yell, he doesn't scream, except when he's in front of certain crowds, and he puts on a different voice, like he went before Congressional Black Caucus. He'd be like crazy, the crazy eyes came out, got agitated, worked up, shifted to a different voice and dialect. I didn't even recognize my president. I got frightened for a minute. I always thought he was a nice guy. I had no idea he was like that. But by and large, a nice man, nice family, wonderful, nice wife, never took advantage of her position as first lady, as clean as a whistle. I mean, the woman, think about it, all those trips she took. She needed them to rest from the hard work she was conducting day and night with all of the things she did. The children had to go. The mother lived in the White House, too. That's the first time it ever happened. Never reported by Anderson Blooper. Have you ever seen a president get away with anything like this? The mother-in-law lived there, Mrs. Robinson, the whole time. 8 years, you paid for this. I don't even know what room she was in. The Washington room, the Lincoln room, the Roosevelt room, the library. I don't know where she stayed. There must be an extra bedroom somewhere, but you are footing the bill. Just think of what it costs, the extra food, the extra lodging, the extra heat, the extra water, the utilities. Nothing against the woman, but I'm saying, when is it said you could take an extended family into the White House and we pay for it? Never. But he got away with it. Why? Thank Anderson Cooper. The same Anderson Cooper who glorifies the rioting and the looters. The rioters and looters. That's so every minute. Yes, sir. What's your grievances? Mm-hmm. Would you like to come to the studios? You nice sneakers you got there. Where'd you get them? Oh, we got it out. Just got it out of the store. Yeah, you come on off to New York. Nice, nice outfit. All right, bring them in. Ed, bring them in. Bring that one in. I'm just an Okie from Finokie. Look, you got to keep on rolling here. Can't let it get to you. That's why I brought up the Bible today. Actually, it wasn't a Bible. That's the funny part. The Bible's different than the prayer book. The prayer book has these, like, a prayer for everything. A prayer upon waking up in the morning, a prayer upon this, a prayer. I never was a religious guy. I used to fall asleep in religious school. I was a goofball. I hated religion. I would make a mockery. I couldn't take it. I was a rebel even in religious school. I would go crazy. My mind would shut down as a kid. I couldn't take it. I remember to this day, it was wintertime in Queens, New York, and it was in a like a run-down religious kind of school. And there was a heat vent that came up from the floor. It was like forced air heating from the floor. So my friend and I were the mischief makers in the classroom. They kept us from going crazy. And they didn't give medication in those days. They just let you be a little mischievous. So this guy was wilder than I was by a land mile. Where he is today, I don't know. I think I know, but I don't want to talk about him. So it was we're all bored to death. And the other kids are going along with the program. He took a piece of toilet paper. And he chopped it up in his hands. I saw him doing something under the desk. He was a little nuts. Like ripping it up into like 1,000 pieces, right? And as the religious teacher turned around to the blackboard, he took this hand of like ripped up toilet paper. It must have been 200 pieces and threw it over the heating vent. And it shot up in the air and he screamed out, "Teacher, teacher, look, it's snowing in the classroom." Now, I thought that was very creative. Well, we both got expelled from the religious school. That was my relationship with religion at that time. I couldn't stand it. I mean, truthfully, it was just a bunch of old guys, you know, couldn't get another job, telling me how to live my life. I wasn't doing anything wrong. What could you really do wrong at 8 years old? I mean, I didn't have any secondary sexual characteristics yet, so what could I do wrong? Nothing. I was like Tom Sawyer. I mean, all the problems begin at adolescence. Why? It's all sex. All the whole Bible is basically about sex. What do you think about it? The number one crime to be to the biblical crowd is basically you're enjoying yourself too much. Like, oh, you're having a good time? How dare you have a good time? You better get back to work now. You better control that impulse. The whole thing is about that. I mean, you can't let that animal stand right up. But the thing is I read the prayer before sleep. It helps because I didn't know like the prayer before you go to bed is all about your enemies. Then I can relate to that. Prayer before retiring at night. I was shocked to read it because I'm reading it. I'm not mocking it. I'm actually glorifying it. It says prayer before retiring at night. It says, "Master of the universe, I hereby forgive anyone who has angered or vexed me." That's like everyone I meet. "Or sinned against me." That's everybody. "Either physically or financially." So that's again like people you work with. "Against my honor." That's everything. Everyone says they insult you. Got to forget that. Against anything that's mine. "Whether accidentally or intentionally." So it'll be like a guy going by in a car and sticks his finger up at you. You're not supposed to think about trailing him home and killing him. "Inadvertently or deliberately, by speech or by deed, in this incarnation or in any other." I like that because I always wonder about that. Like, I believe in reincarnation. And so they cover that too, by speech or by deed, in this incarnation or in any other. Like, you could be like a madman could be mad at someone he never even met. That could be because he's so psychic that he understands in another world he's actually still living there. And he's mixed up. "May no man be punished on my account. May it be your will, Lord, my God, and God of my fathers. I shall sin no more nor repeat my sins. Neither shall I again anger." See, it's about anger management. Most of religion is about anger management. Did you know that? You don't have to go to some group therapy with syrup. You don't have to eat like Kalo syrup, whatever they eat. What do they eat in the AA? Some kind of sugary stuff that gives you diabetes. "And the sins I have committed erased among them. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you. But I'm the Lord, my..." So that's it. It helps me. I have better dreams now. I don't even remember my dreams. That's the weird part. So I'm reading the prayer before bedtime like a child. It's nice. You find a little peace here and there. You take it. And that's it. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with talking about a thing like that? How much can I talk about what's going on in the world? Forever? Yes, forever and a day. That's what we do in talk radio. Like, here's a nice video of one of the poor downtrodden minorities in Charlotte. And I put it up there. There he is. I put it up on my Facebook. Got a cigarette in his mouth. The pants are hanging under his behind. You know, jail outfit. Pants under his behind. And he's looking through shoes he's robbing from a car to find the right size. There it is. Trying them on. broke a window opener of an SUV. There were shoes in the car, and he picked out a pair that fit him. You can't blame the man. I mean, look, if you are a protester, you're not a criminal. This is just peaceful protesters. And the man wants to look good for CNN and Fox News. He needs new sneakers. Where should he get them from? The government hasn't sent them this month. So what's wrong with robbing them out of a car in the middle of a nice protest over something? You don't even know what the protest is about. But it's an opportunity to get a new pair of shoes. You get the shoes. You get some nice sport outfit. Then the cameras see you. You could wind up invited to New York to appear on camera. It doesn't matter if you speak 30 words of English. All you got to do is rub your crotch and wear the new sneakers, and they might give you a job at CNN for all you know. If you're even good enough at it, you can wind up in the White House under Hillary Clinton. So you see, America's a land of opportunity. That's the thing about this. KLIF, Dallas, haven't heard from anyone down there in a while. Chuck, line 6, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that how you broke that story yesterday when it came out about the Tulsa white woman. When you made the point about her having the power of life and death in her hands and that she did not belong to have that power, Michael, my wife sent me a link to the video, and you were spot on. I must say how noble that you broke that story and how detailed you articulated the story. I was shocked by what I was hearing come out of your mouth. But
that's right. And a lot of people attacked me. They said, how dare you attack the police? He didn't listen to instructions. He should have listened to I said, what are you, crazy? He was just a guy whose car broke down on the side of the road. He had no weapon, and this woman panicked and killed him. So I was ripped apart, even though I've supported police forever and a day. So, oh, you're attacking police. I said, bull crap. There are rogue cops. There are bad cops. She was a panic case. She shot him for no reason. I said that, and I was ripped apart, but I was right. That cop was indicted for first-degree murder today. Did you know that in Tulsa?
So I just went through Tulsa an hour ago and heard it on the news. Yes, I did, Michael.
All right. Well, I'm sending you scorched third. Listen, I'm pretty accurate in my analysis. I mean, if I make a mistake here and there, I'll let you know. I didn't make a mistake. I called that one correctly. I'm usually accurate in my opinions, or else I wouldn't be here. You know, that's all. Next case. What else do you want to talk about? How about this? Let's go to WABC Dave, line 9. Dave, what's on your mind, Dave?
I always listen to the third hour, even though for some reason WABC doesn't carry it. You're always something interesting in the third hour. Let me comment.
Yes, it changed. The third hour changes. The whole mood changes, right?
You talk about what you made for dinner the other night, about the rest.
So how do you listen? ABC takes it off the air for hour 3.
Yeah.
To let some geniuses on the air, because they don't like my intelligence, apparently. No, they're a great station. I'm glad to be on that station. So what do you listen? You listen on the phone?
On the internet, yeah.
But where? Like in a house, on an iPhone? How do you listen?
5 o'clock is when my business gets easy. I got to do paperwork and wish
I got. So you turn it on like on a computer on the screen in your office?
Right. That's right.
Well, come January, you're going to be able to see me in the studio with Teddy, God willing.
I can't wait. Let me tell you about the prayer I say every night before I go to sleep. Same prayer you're referring to. Why do we
Oh, you do? Does it help you forget all of the bad people you meet during the day?
It really does. It really does.
It does. See, yeah. I know. It's not something. I had an Italian doctor 30 years ago. He was a doctor of mine. Wonderful guy. So he said to me that his father taught him never bring your anger into bed with you at night. Leave it go. Let it go. And the problem is most people can't. They start cogitating over who said this, who did that, how come he said this and didn't do it, he screwed me out of that, she didn't do this, she didn't do that, and then my rotten kid. And you can't sleep with that in your head. So the prayer says put it all aside. So what it says is universally people have been facing these problems from the beginning of time, right?
Yeah, there's another reason we do that, too. If we forgive others, God will forgive us.
All right. Well, now this is a whole other story for another time. In other words, how can you forgive a man like the Somali Muslim who ran through a mall and slashed 8 people with a big knife last weekend? Could you forgive him if, God forbid, did it to your child or your wife? I don't think you forgive him so fast.
I don't think that goes. That's part of the prayer.
Okay. See, now, so there are limitations to turn the other cheek.
Of course.
We should never forget that. And that's why the radical Muslims are crapping all over us. They look at us and see a bunch of weaklings, a bunch of sheep, ready to have their throats cut. This is the problem with this generic Christianity and Judaism that has filtered down in the wrong way in our society. Turn the other cheek did not mean turn your cheek up to get your throat cut. All right, I'm sending you Scorched Earth. Even though you're a very rich businessman who should pay more taxes, I'm sending you a free book. Stay on the line. I'm joking. I don't know what he makes. What do I know where he is? So right after the show, I got to tell you, you know what a great life I have. You imagine. What do you imagine I do after a show? I wonder if people, sometimes I think about, what does the audience think I'm doing? They don't know what you're doing. They have an imaginary idea of what you're doing. You probably think, oh, he's here. He's meeting with people important. I'm not. Right after the show, you know what I'm doing? Emmis, right on the... I'm going to a dentist again. Again, in the... I can't stand it. I had that implant in the... I don't... I got to go. I said, can't I send you a picture of it? I tried to get a way of seeing him last week. I sent him a picture of my tooth. I thought that would work front and back. I had my assistant take a picture of my teeth. So he said, all right, look, it doesn't look bad, but you got to come in anyway. I said, why do I have to come in? He said, well, under this procedure, I have to see you like on a regular basis. All right, I don't deny. He's a good dentist. Oh, the drive and traffic right after the show on 101 North, it's awful. It is a parking lot heading up to the, oh, God. Then the parking, and then the going in, and they say hello, and I talk. It's too much talking. How's this? How's I don't want to talk to any. Then the chair, they get you in the chair, and they smile to you. Please, that's their job. I don't want to go through a whole social thing. Then they come in, and they open up, and gape the mouth. Ugh. All right, this is a human condition. I'll forgive them tonight at my prayer.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, I got to tell you, what a show it's been. I want to thank all of you for listening to the show in particular. I mean, it all begins with the radio show and for rushing out to the bookstore and driving the book up on the list. SE, I'll say SE because I don't want to offend anybody who's saying Scorched Earth. They get offended if I say the name of the book too much, but I'm proud of it. I started out as an unknown nobody many years ago, and now I'm a best-selling author, and I made a commitment to this audience, and you've rewarded me. You bought the book, and it's just starting, by the way, because I think, God forbid, what's going to happen now. You wake up and you see what's going on in Charlotte. You say to yourself, wait a minute, who is this guy? He says America's turning into a nation of terror. Check yes. Riots. Check yes. Mobs. Check yes. Chaos. Yes. Who is this guy, Michael Savage? Restoring the country after Malbama. He says our Constitution has been trampled by a divisive president. That's right. He says progressive policies and open borders have poisoned America. Right. Then he says, are we one bad election away from losing everything? That's right. So that's why I say I don't care that Guy Lombardo's book is doing better. God bless him. He brings them in, the people who live in the past, who want to watch History Channel when the white man ruled the earth, when they defeated Japan. Why do they buy those books? I mean, I'm not knocking it. Why would you buy a book about defeating Japan right now? I don't understand that. Because what, we can't defeat the radical Islamists, so you're going to take glory in having defeated Japan? That makes sense. I understand that. That's great. You'll live in the past. Eat knockwurst and live in the past. That was a quick jump cut. Because Oktoberfest is coming up, and I've been invited to an Oktoberfest party. I don't eat sausage. I don't eat pretzels. They want $50 for me to go to eat sausage and pretzels and listen to a record? Like it's not even a real live polka band? I'm not going to go to that. Yet I like Oktoberfest. Go figure that out.